John chapter 1. I'm just going to look at the first five verses here in John chapter 1. Lord willing, I want to go through the Gospel of John. I don't think we've done that. I think we went through Matthew. I was trying to think last night of all the books we've gone through. I wish, if you can remember it, write it down and give it to me. I thought of a lot of them, several of them we went through, but I thought, if I'm missing one here, it doesn't matter if we go back through it, we will eventually, but I want to go through the Gospel of John. I think it's very important that we, as often as we can, go through the Gospels, because in the Gospels we get to watch the Lord of glory. Watch how he walks among men, watch how he handles sinners, and listen to his conversation. It's listening to God. You're listening to God. You're watching God Almighty deal with men. Sinners and hypocrites and Pharisees. I tell you, it's just like sitting back and watching it. Now, we're going to look here at the Gospel of John. John's Gospel focuses on the deity of Christ probably more than all the others, and they focus on his deity, but not like John. You see, Matthew, when you go read Matthew, he starts speaking of the Lord in his genealogy. And he gives the genealogy in his reference to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those, and it goes right down through that genealogy. Mark basically speaks of him in the eyes of looking at someone as a servant. John, someone said the other three Gospels start looking at Christ from the outside. John looks at him from the inside. John starts right off the bat with the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the first five verses of this chapter, we see what majesty. I like that, your majesty. We see the majesty and glory in this man, Jesus Christ, right from the beginning. It's like the sun shining in its strength, is what it's like. And this is John's writing. You know, John seems to be or have been the closest of all the disciples and the apostles. He seems to be the closest to the Lord. He's the one who leaned upon the Lord's breast. When he writes about him, he gets right to the very glory of this man, Jesus Christ. Look over in 1 John. Over in 1 John, look how he starts that epistle. Listen to this. This is how John starts the epistle, his first epistle, 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word. That's what he's going to talk about here in the Gospel of John, the Word. Here he calls it the Word of life. For the life was manifested. Life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested, revealed to us. And that life that was manifested is the Word of God. And John starts out with the eternal existence of the Lord Jesus Christ right from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is a word? You hear me this morning by words. If I don't say anything this morning, you have no clue what's going on in my mind. I have to open my mouth and let the words flow out, and you'll understand what I'm thinking. You'll understand what's in my mind. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the, as one writer said, the expression of God. It's interesting, I thought about this morning. It's interesting when God said, let us make man in our likeness and after our image. And one of the very things he gave to us is the ability to use words. To use a word. And Christ is the Word of God. He's the expression of God. Listen here in Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. Speaking of Christ, God the Father hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. He's the final spokesman. He's that prophet. Whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Nothing exists without Him. We'll see that. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged us from our sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. But He's the express image. He's the expression of God. For God to reveal Himself to anyone, you're going to have it through the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a word is also, it's not only an expression, it's a revelation. Christ is the revelation of God. He said to the disciples, He that has seen me has seen the Father. Show us the Father. You're looking at Him. He's the expression, He's the revelation of God. And He's all the revelation of God you and I are ever going to have. He says here in Matthew 11, 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. He's the revelation. You cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. Now you can know there is a God by creation. You can know something of His power, something of His wisdom. But to know God, to know the fullness of God and His attributes, to know Him as a person, to know Him, you have to know Him through Jesus Christ. If you want to study God, study Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. To learn of Christ is to learn of God. Now he says, in the beginning, the proper reading of this is in beginning. In beginning of everything in heaven and earth. Christ, the Word of God, was already there. Whatever has a beginning, Christ is there. He's there. He has no beginning. He's already there. He's the one who has no beginning of day nor end of life. That's the Son of God. All beginnings began with Him. All beginnings began with Him. He is the eternal God. It's like over in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. You know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Right there in Genesis 1:1. And the Word was with God. It's not saying He was in God. It says He was with God. This is speaking of a distinct personality of the Son of God. A.W. Pink says that the word was here has two meanings in the Greek. In this verse, it means to exist. In the beginning, He existed with God. You read that over in Proverbs chapter 8 when he speaks of wisdom. How by Him is one brought up with Him. He existed. In verse 3 and 6, look in verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not. The word was there, and in verse 6, there was a man. The word there means, here's what it means. It means came into being. It means came into being. You see, when it speaks of Christ, it means existed. When it speaks of John and everything else, they came into being. Jesus Christ did not come into being. The Son of God did not come into being. He's always existed. Always. He's eternal. He's eternal. Everything else came into being by Him. And it says He was with God. And this here shows that Christ has a distinct personality from the Father, even though there's just one God. There's only one God, but there are three distinct persons in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is written in 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and it's capitalized W, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They are one God. And the Word was with God, or God was the Word. You know, the old English translation that was authorized by King Henry VIII has it written, God was the Word. And then it was changed to, the Word was God, which is fine. It's a fine translation. But originally it was translated, God was the Word. He's the Word. There's no denying. Here's what John is stating here, because everything John has to say after this, and all the work that Christ will do after this hinges on this. It hinges on this. And there's no denying that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. This is extremely important because of who is hanging, or who hung on that cross. Who hung on that cross? Just a man? God in human flesh. God in a body. A body hast thou prepared me. Hung on that cross. Why is it so important? Because the efficacy of all that our Lord did and suffered, even in his death, hinges on him being God. The efficacy of all that he's doing in heaven right now hinges on him being God. Let me give you an example. How can he be with us this morning? We believe the Lord is present with us. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. How can he be present with us this morning and at the same time present with other local churches throughout the world? Except he be God. That's the only way. If he's just a man, he's confined to that, just like you and I. We're confined to space. We're confined to a body. We're confined to a place. He's not, because he's God. That's how he can be. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. That's how he can do it. And then the efficacy of his blood hinges on him being God. The blood of a man, though he be ever so good man, such a good man, would do us no good and would not make atonement for our sins unless that man is God. If the blood that flows through his veins, now listen, if the blood that flows through his veins is the blood of God, then he can make atonement for our sins. He can make atonement. Acts 20:28. Listen to this. Paul says to the church, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Who purchased? God did. God did. What a mystery. What a profound mystery. And yet what a glorious, glorious truth that God Almighty in human flesh hung on a cross and shed his blood for our sins to make atonement for them. And him being God is the reason he's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. He's able because of who he is. He's God. He's the mighty God. He's the mighty God. And this being so, what reverence and love is due him? What reverence, respect, and love is due the Lord, for he's God. And what comfort it affords those who believe in him. I'm trusting God. David said, God has become my salvation. God's become my salvation. And what security believers have in him. If God is my salvation, No one can destroy that, not even me. And then what boldness we should have at the throne of grace. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. God is with us and God is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what Paul says in Romans 10. And then John repeats this in verse 2. And the reason why he repeats this, the same was in the beginning with God, is to emphasize the great importance of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many believe that Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe he's not God. The Mormons believe he's not God. The Jews over there believe he's not the Messiah. He's not God. But you do. You do. We looked at that blind man. I think it was last week in chapter 9 of John. Christ said, do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he? He said, you're looking at him. It's the one talking to you. He said, I believe. You believe. Isn't that what Philip asked the eunuch? He believed on the Son of God. He said, I believe. I tell you this first and foremost. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. That's who he is. That's who he is. Now, with that foundation, we're able to learn. If we don't believe that, if we don't understand that, we don't need to go any further, because what we're going to learn is not going to be right. Because you know this, God cannot fail. God cannot fail. Can't do it. And then the word here, the Lord Jesus Christ, is said to be the creator. All things were made by him. You notice how it goes from the word, and now he speaks of him as him. A person. Now he speaks of a person. It's the Word of God is a person, a real living person. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Listen to Colossians 1. In Colossians 1, verse 16, 17. For by him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by him, the Word of God, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. For him. It's all for him. And he is before all things. He existed before all things. And by him all things consist, are held together. By the word of his power, they are. They're held together. Can you imagine? I mean, this is how dead people are, because they really don't think about what they believe. To think that this all started with a Big Bang, and all these the millions and trillions of stars out there are going to hold their place. They're going to stay in orbit. They're going to stay in their place. The Earth is going to stay in its place. It's not going to break loose and go out into orbit. All that by a Big Bang. Aren't you glad that God has made himself known to you, and you know that by the word of his power, all things are held together? I'm not afraid of a shooting star or a comet or some cosmic disaster. The Lord says, stay right there. And that sun comes up at the same time every year, and every season changes right on time. By, you know how it does so? By the word of his power. Remember that one was a centurion said, speak and my servant will be healed. I believe it's in this gospel. John only records, I think, seven miracles. And all of them have to do with his deity, because at that time he just spoke and that servant was healed. He didn't even go to see him, didn't go to the house or anything. He just spoke. Only God can do that. Only God can be 1,000 miles away and say, be healed. Only God can be in heaven. And who knows? I mean, you can't. We're still looking at the first heaven, aren't we? We're still looking at the, I guess it's called the second heaven, where the stars are. They still can't go out to the end of that. And the Lord says, live. And you live. Creation is ascribed to the Word, Jesus Christ. It's another proof of His deity. His creating all things show us this. It shows His omnipotent power. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, when I consider all that God has done and all that He's created, my little troubles are nothing. Really? My problems are just, they're little. Listen, they might be big to me, but they're little to Him. Everything's little to God. He's so great. And then it speaks of His infinite knowledge. All of this, all that we see, listen, all that we see came out of His mind. That's amazing. And then it speaks of His infinite wisdom, how He makes all this variety work together in such harmony. Can you do that? Well, the greatest engineers in the world can't do that. They can't do it. You get a few hundred thousand miles. Used to, you didn't even get more than 50,000 miles out of a car, and you had to overhaul it. He hasn't had to overhaul anything. Creation is still going on just like it always has. But what he's saying here, nothing was done apart from the Word of God. Nothing was done apart from that man, Jesus Christ. The Trinity never works independently of each other. Christ said, not my will, but thine be done. God said, let us make man in our image. He said, let us go down at the Tower of Babel. Let us go down. They never operate independently of each other because they're one. And then life in verse 4, life is ascribed to the Word. In Him, see, the Word is a person. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. He's the creator of all things. He's the life giver. He's the fountain of life to all things. You know, everything has life from Him. Even those who hate Him, those who don't believe on Him, have life from Him. Here's responsibility now. Here's human responsibility. He's given, everyone who's come into this world, He's given them life and light. He's given the law of God's written on the heart. You can take people that's never even read a law, ever heard of the law, and they know it's wrong to murder. They know that's wrong. They know adultery is wrong. They know stealing is wrong. How do they know that? The law's written on the heart. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He's given every man and woman a conscience. And the law is written on it. Now, through much sinning, we sear. People can sear their conscience. But I tell you this, there's enough light given of God in the heart that it would compel a man or woman to seek the Creator. Go over and read Romans chapter 1. But they don't do it. They don't do it because we love darkness. We love darkness rather than light. Now, the word light here also speaks of a relationship which Christ is to all men. He's the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. Every rational man is morally enlightened and accountable to Him who's given them light. That's where accountability comes from. He's given you light. He's given you life. And then we thumb our nose up at Him and tell Him to go take a hike. In verse 5, and the light shineth. It's still shining. It's shining here this morning. We're reading the Word of God. The light is shining this morning. Not all see it. Not everyone here sees it. Not everyone here even gives a flip about it. Some do, some don't. Not everyone. This shows how devastating the fall was. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But I don't understand. Unless He gives us spiritual life and light, we won't, because we are steeped in darkness. You know there's such a thing as dark light? You know, there is dark light. If the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? If the light you have is darkness, how great is it? Man, the light is shining and man can't see it. He cannot see the light. It's like that man that was blind from birth. He had never seen light. He'd never seen what we call the light of day. He never saw his parents, what they looked like, or his brothers and sisters, if he had them, and I'm sure he did. He never knew what a tree looked like. He never knew what anything looked like. He's blind. But there he sat. There he sat. In the daytime, when the Lord walked up to him, the light was shining. The daylight, the sun was shining. The sunlight was shining. He didn't know it. I'm sure he could feel its warmth. But the light was on and he didn't know it. He couldn't comprehend it. Why? He's blind. And that's why people, when they hear the gospel, to the Greeks it's foolishness, and to the Jews it's a stumbling block. It's because they're blind. The light's shining, but they can't comprehend it. There has to be given a new mind, a new heart, a new nature in order to receive truth, in order to receive the light. That's why it's so foolish when I hear preachers begging sinners to do something. They do something for God. They're blind, deaf, and dumb, and you're going to ask them to do something. I tell you what I do. When I come here and I preach, I pray. This morning I prayed. I said, Lord, those who are here who do not believe, enable them to believe. I'm not asking anybody here to do something for Christ. I'm asking Christ to do something for you. Because you don't ask a dead man. Now, if there's a casket up here and I ask the man in that casket, man or woman, dead, if I ask them to get up, You would know I'm crazy. You wouldn't have to think. You'd know I'm crazy if I'm asking him to get up. That's the same thing of asking a dead sinner to do something in order to be saved. I'm asking God to do something for the sinner. Give him life. Give him life. If they have life, they can come to you. If they have life, they can believe you. If they have life, they can hear. But if they're dead, well, they just did. I have no trouble understanding what dead means. That's pretty simple. Pretty simple. It says in John 5:40 that every man that comes into the world, he gives them light, but yet we are taught that they are in darkness. And they can't comprehend the light that's coming to the world. Can't do it. The unregenerate man, until God saves him, will remain in darkness. And the gospel will be such a mystery. You who believe, when you heard the gospel and God sent it to you in power, you know what you said? You may not have said it in the exact words, but I see. I understand. Because God has commanded the light of the gospel, of the glory of God, to shine in your hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. He's commanded that light to shine in you. You see, the light's shining to everyone here this morning. The light's shining to everyone. But there are some whom God has commanded the light to shine in them. And you see the light. And that light is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What glory and majesty is in Jesus Christ. And John starts out his gospel pointing out the deity of Jesus Christ. Because everything after this, hinges on him being God. That's what it hinges on, him being God.